Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We're coming back basically just where we kind of left off last week. We're talking about restoring the roar. Hallelujah. In this year of 5776, 2016, the year of the righteous roar. But last time, if you remember, I shared about hearing the Lord say way back in 1991, at the top of Ben Braga, he said, I am giving you this land. I am giving you this land. Go in and possess it. And I also said, there will always be opposition to a word like that. That day I thought the opposition couldn't get any worse than one of my guitar strings breaking as we were up there, myself and my little son, 3.5-year-old son David, singing Hosanna in the Highest. And immediately we started singing, of course, the guitar string pops. And I thought, well, I was so full of that word that, you know, I thought that's as bad as it can get. Because we just carried on singing anyway with five strings and glory to God. But, you know, but last night we also spoke about how Jesus came in the power of the Spirit from his encounter with the devil in the wilderness, and he came back to his local congregation and he read from the scroll. He was handed the scroll of Isaiah and he began to read there, and then he closed the book. He began to read from where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to announce the year, the time of God's favour, the day when the free favours of God will profusely abound. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then it says he closed the book and he sat down, and it says all of the eyes of everybody were fastened upon him. Everybody was looking at him. And then he basically, as I said in my kind of paraphrase, he basically said, and this is a now word from today. Mm-hmm. And everybody got all excited and jumped up and started whooping. No, it's right then the opposition began. Mm-hmm. Says they wanted to kill him. Amen. You know, there's lots of people who love to talk about revival. But when you introduce the concept of revival now, or the fact that you believe that you're already living in revival, they tend to get a bit funny with you. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? Right then you get a lot of the ifs. In fact, last Sunday afternoon, I think it was, I got a phone call, and this guy was, I'm talking about one of the good guys, you know, we're talking and that, and then he's talking about revival and all that sort of stuff, and I said, well, actually, we believe we're living in revival now. And then the ifs come, you know. Like, well, if you are in revival, why are people not falling down in repentance when you walk into a room? And I thought to myself, well, you mean like they did every time Jesus walked into a room? Note. You see, people struggle with revival now because they've been programmed with stories from revival past. And because of that, they have preconceived ideas regarding revival future being just like revival past, or at least revival past as they've heard it was. You probably heard this morning, okay, you can smile at me if you like. But remember, the opposition begins when you proclaim a now word. As soon as Jesus said, they were quite happy for him to read from the scroll of Isaiah, they were been quite happy to put the scroll back in its place very with great reverence, you know, and just slide it back in there, you know. Someone would have come the next one to make sure no dust gathers on this, you know. But he said, this is a now word from today. And boom, all of a sudden the claws were out. As soon as you proclaim a now word, that's when the opposition begins. Religion as usual is okay as far as the devil is concerned. But when you say this is a now word, you see, in order to receive what we're believing for, you have to fight through the disagreement. You have to push through the opposition. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? See, religious tradition, not just religious tradition, but in fact, the law of God said she shouldn't be in the crowd that day. The law of God, God's law excluded her from that gathering of people. But she'd heard about Jesus. She'd heard that he healed the sick. For years she'd struggled with hemorrhaging blood. She was weak. She was designated as unclean because of her illness and her sickness, and for years she'd struggled under that burden. But she'd heard about Jesus, she'd heard that he healed the sick, and she heard it as a now word. And so she kept, says she kept speaking it out as she pushed through the opposition. If I can just touch him, I will be healed. If I can just touch him, I will be healed. If I can just touch him, just even the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she kept speaking out as she pushed through the opposition. You see, when the word becomes a now word, I was just meditating on this yesterday afternoon, when the word becomes a now word, it releases a new thing. Do you know that in Hebrew, words and things are synonymous? When the word becomes a now word, it releases a new thing, the new covenant that is not based on your ability to keep the law. The new covenant that is accessed simply by believing the love that God has for us as our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. The new covenant that doesn't isolate the unclean, but cleanses and includes them. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, a now word equals a new thing. Same with the Gentile women. Remember the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon-possessed? Even Jesus' disciples were part of the opposition. They were saying to Jesus, just send her off. She's annoying us. With all this shouting. Even Jesus himself seemed to be resisting her. But she'd heard how Jesus delivered people from demons, and her daughter was severely demon-possessed, the Bible says. And when she heard that Jesus delivered people from demons, she heard it as a now word, and it brought her into the revelation of the new thing. The new covenant that was going to expand the family and extend the family of God and give everybody, whether Jew or Gentile, the right to be called a child of God. The right to sit at his table. The right to receive his bread, the bread of deliverance and healing. Glory to God. The bread that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every now word. Every rhema word that God speaks. You see, when you receive the word as a now word, I want to tell you, get ready to experience the new thing. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, in the Amplified, it puts it this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Saviour, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Say, new things. Say, new things have come. It says, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you say this is a now word, that's when the opposition arises. Sometimes folks wonder why we can't get in the town hall on a Sunday. And supposedly it's on the basis that the council no longer do Sunday lets. Even though another church of the more established variety, God bless them, and I've got no problem with this and no issue with the fact that they're doing this, but they're allowed to hire another council property on a Sunday. Well, the reason for that is because the people who make the decisions are blissfully ignorant of the fact that they are in disagreement with the Lord who's given us the land. Yeah, and that is because of spiritual opposition. See, it doesn't make any sense from a natural perspective. Just like it didn't make any sense for the people in Jesus' local synagogue to react in the way that they did to what was, after all, good news. He says, I've come to preach good news. This is an I word. The good news has arrived. Good news. Everybody broken hearted here. Good news. Healing has arrived. Are you a captive? Do you need deliverance? Good news. Deliverance has come. Have you been blind to the reality of your identity, of who you are and everything that that means and everything that that includes? Well, good news. I'm here to open your eyes to see things from heaven's perspective. Have you been feeling oppressed and depressed recently? Well, good news! Liberty, freedom has come. Not only that, but God's free favour has been released at this moment. And all good news, not one even a hint of bad news in that. And yet they react in the way that they did. Didn't make any sense from a natural perspective. It's the same with that technology. You think, doesn't make any sense. from a natural perspective, that's what you need to understand. The opposition is not natural, it's spiritual. It's before it's natural, it's spiritual. That's why it's always advantageous to take possession and ownership of the buildings or of the land that you want to possess. People say, I've heard this, I don't know any times I've heard people say, why do you need your own building? Because nobody can lock you out of your own building. It's not enough to sit around believing that things can change, you have to get out there and make the change. And that's why we need to remember our battle is always a spiritual battle before it's anything else. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 to 5 says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. How do we do it? With natural weapons? No, with God's mighty weapons. What are we talking about? We're talking about restoring the roar. Hallelujah. What are the strongholds? They're the things that make no sense. They're the mindsets that are impregnated with hopelessness and that even can cause the believer to accept passively. Remember, we're moving from passive acceptance to active and aggressive expectancy. The mindsets are impregnated with hopelessness that cause the believer to accept passively something that he or she knows is contrary to the will of God. What's the will of God? Well, the Word is His will, and His will is the Word. The will of God, it is written. You see, the only thing that religious tradition actively resists is change. Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you a quick explanation here of something here, because it looks like we're going to be talking a bit about land over the next few weeks. Now, when I say land, I want you to think people.
Yeah.
Because land is always about people. Land is for people. God created the heavens and the earth, and He said, wow, what a good job I made. Doesn't that look wonderful? I think we'll just sit up here in heaven and look at that for the rest of eternity. And admire it. No, as soon as He had made all of these wonderful things, He then made man. He said, now let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let's give him dominion in the earth. God created the heavens and the earth, and then He filled them with everything that would provide a life of carefree abundance to be enjoyed in all of its glorious fullness, and then He created the first people to enjoy it. And even after they'd blown it and things had become so dark down through the generations that all of men's thoughts, it says, were only evil all of the time, at that point God did a clean sweep and started again with a man called Noah and his family. It says He blessed him and He told them to refill the earth with people. Because land is always for people. I was going to maybe mention this later, but let me just bring it in here now. One of the things that's left really deep scars on the psyche of the people of the Highlands and Islands of Scotland is when greedy and arrogant men thought they could clear the land of the people so they could graze it with sheep. But the land is for people. Come on, son boy. If the people want to have some sheep, that's up to them. But primarily, the land is for people. He blessed them and told them to refill the earth, replenish the earth with people. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, that's the first time that grace shows up in the Word of God. And you know what Noah's name means? It means rest. See, our battle is not a flesh battle of striving. Paul said, I don't fight as one who beats the air. It's a spiritual battle of resting. I mean, I was in Isaiah 28 this morning. Not by coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. Anybody else in here believe in coincidence? Well, if it is a coincidence, it's a God coincidence. But But it says there in Isaiah 28, it says, whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? I've put some stuff in there that I've written there over the past while. I don't know when I wrote this, maybe last year, 2 years ago, sometime like that. Hallelujah. But what did the Lord say to us? He said, I've not been building a ministry through you. I've been building a message in you. And out of the message, the ministry will come. New Wine Church primarily is about a message. Because Jesus is the message. Hallelujah. He is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it goes on and it says, whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. But then he goes on and says, for precept must be upon precept. Line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. People say, why do you keep talking about this? Why do you keep hearing this over and over and over again? Because I never met anybody who went to school and learned the 2x table the first day, and the next day said we're moving on to 3x table. No, they made sure you had a grasp of the 2x table before you moved on to the 3x table. And so on to the 4x and the 5x, and then eventually you got to that awesome 12x table. 6 12s. Just like that. Come on now. Somebody. Why, how do you know that? Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little. There a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Paul referred back to this in regard to tongues, the language of the Spirit, the prayer language that God has given us to build us up and make us strong from the inside out, to keep us in the rest. For the stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. But lo and behold, they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, still coming to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might, come on now. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? Restoring the Lord, restoring spirit life, restoring spirit prayer, spirit praise, spirit proclamation. Hallelujah. Restoring God's order, spirit, soul, and body. Noah means rest. Our battle is not a flesh battle of striving. It's a spirit battle of resting. And trusting in the power of the blessing. That is the manifestation of God's grace. And the demonstration of his love. I said last time that, you know, back in 1991 on the top of Ben Braga, when the Lord said, I'm giving you the land. I said that, you know, I was, when I heard that, I was, my spirit was in complete agreement with that promise. I'll tell you, it still is. You see, we believe on the mountaintop. Love believes all things, but we receive in the valley. Next Sunday, I'm hoping to be in Tain next Sunday, you know. You can think it's by pure coincidence again that we have a New Wine Church in Stornoway and Lewis, and we have a New Wine Church in Tain. Where did New Wine Church Stornoway begin? Where did it actually begin? It began in Dalbeg. Now that we're in New Wine Tain, but we're at the opposite extremes of the old county of Ross and Cromarty. I'm reading a book, as I think I've mentioned a couple of times, on the spiritual history of Lewis and Harris. I've decided that anybody who arrives off the ferry or the plane with a book in their hand that says, oh, I've been reading about the Lewis revival, shouldn't be allowed to open their mouth again until they read this other book first. And get a little bit of context. Because if you lose touch with your history, you won't have a clue what your destiny is. And I've been digging some of this book, it's a bit heavy going some days, but you know, anybody that's mined for diamonds or gold knows that you have to go through a whole lot of stuff before you find one of these nuggets. And I found a nugget just yesterday, I think it was, as I'm digging my way through some of the bits that are a bit more heavy going. And I discovered that a man called Finlay Monroe, and it was one of the first people to bring the evangelical gospel to the island of Lewis, and he was from Tain. And one of the places that he preached was in the arena, the natural arena of Dalbeg. Somebody help me. Is that just another coincidence? No, I think that's just God saying, actually, you're exactly where I placed you. At the right time to fulfill my purposes. I've given you the land, go in and possess it. My spirit was in complete agreement. Because we believe on the mountaintop, but we receive in the valley. And love is the activator, and love is the energizer, and love is the motivator for that active and aggressive expectancy that keeps us and maintains us in receiving mode. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 13, it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." So Moses is on the top of the ridge with his hands held high. Joshua is down in the valley in the midst of the battle facing the opposition. And as long as Moses' arms are lifted up with the help of Aaron and Hur, there was victory on the battlefield. That tells me something. That tells me there has to be a connection maintained between believing and receiving. How do you maintain that connection? Spirit prayer, spirit praise, spirit proclamation. That's what maintains that connection. He that is joined to the Lord has become one spirit with him. You've got to keep that connection open. Remember over a few weeks, just before the new year, we looked at three guys who we recognized that the life, or these guys had recognized that the life that we've been created to live is first of all spirit life. Caleb, what was the Lord's testimony with Caleb? He had a different spirit. Different from all the rest of the folks. Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. And then we looked at David, because after he had messed up, he cried out to God for the restoration of a right or steadfast or stable or faithful spirit. But as I was meditating on this again just over the last few days, I realized, you know, all of these guys also had revelation of the connection between land and people. Caleb believed that God had promised a land of abundant provision to his people, and he refused to be intimidated by the opposition. He kept on believing to receive the land that God had promised. Come on, somebody. But it wasn't just land, it was land for people. Daniel excelled in an alien land. He acted as a protector of his people within that land by maintaining a godly embassy within that land, regardless of the opposition. He refused to yield to the intimidation of the opposition. He said, "I'm going to keep praying to my God." Hallelujah. And I'll even open a window so you can hear it. Amen. He also received insight into God's timetable for restoring his people to their own land. Jeremiah was reading Daniel when he realized, hang on a minute, we're in that time right now. David was the greatest king ever over the nation of Israel, and the people were blessed and prospered more in the land than under any other king. Because under David's leadership, they successfully dealt with the opposition. Hallelujah. Daniel reading Jeremiah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I could sense somebody's got some correction in the air here. And I knew, once I said that, I knew I'd got it wrong, but I thought I'd better just make it straight. As Daniel's reading Jeremiah, he recognizes, hang on a minute, Sam, we're in this time. The nation of Israel, the people of God, never prospered as much as they did under David's leadership, because David, from the moment that he stood up in front of Goliath, was refused ever to be intimidated by the opposition.
That's right.
And he dealt with the opposition. Who knows, it's easy to get excited in church. It's easy to get excited on the top of the hill when the Lord says to you, I'm giving you this land. Whoa! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Glory to the King of Kings. You see, the land we've been given to possess is not in church where there's agreement.
Sorry.
It's outside where there's disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's time for the righteous to roar. Mm-hmm. It's time to move from passive acceptance to active and aggressive expectation. Remember I said last week, you never need more than three words to beat the devil. To send him packing, it is written, it is finished, God loves me, I am righteous, I am healed, I am delivered, I am prosperous, Jesus is... Let's say it together. Jesus is Lord. You see, he ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And unlike Moses, he never gets weary. He's our high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. He never gets weary. He never sleeps or slumbers. Hallelujah. He said, Peter, I'm going to be praying for you, Peter, and this is why I'm praying, that your faith will not fail, that your faith will not quit, that you'll hold fast to my word. Because that faith is our guarantee of victory in every battle. What does that mean? Faith attaches itself to what God has said and refuses to let go. You know, in Ephesians 4, it says that when Jesus ascended, it says he led captivity captive. He gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and he gave them for a purpose, and that purpose is to equip the church with the word of faith. That word that ensures victory in every situation and circumstance. Remember what Jesus did after that first attempt to bring the prophetic word to his local townspeople? He did the smart thing and he got out of Dodge. He says he just walked out through them. The guys that had come to full of murder and hatred, and not even knowing probably why, what was motivating them, but something had stirred them because it wasn't natural, it was spiritual.
Yeah, yeah.
Later on, he gives us some insight after another visit to that same region when he says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own people. The prophetic word isn't always received with open arms. There will be opposition. But only the prophetic word is that which brings heaven to earth. Only the prophetic word reconnects heaven with earth and clears the land for the people. Come on, I want you to hear this morning. The prophetic word clears the land for the people to live, to enable the people to live in the fullness of the Father's provision and under the Father's protection. Only the prophetic word does that. Only that now word does that. The land is for people. You know, even today there's those who are self-appointed guardians of dead tradition, who seek to protect that tradition at the expense of precious people who are dying without God and without hope, just like those who cleared the land to graze the sheep. Land that's for people. That's not natural, folks. That's spiritual. How could someone hold on and hold on to tradition and protect tradition when the people are all dying? That doesn't make any sense. Because it's not natural. It's spiritual. But Jesus commissioned us to invade the land with the good news of the kingdom. And it's all about people. He said, go and preach the message of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Who are they? People. Cleanse the lepers. Who are they? People. It's all about people. Raise the dead, you know, in a couple of translations I realized yesterday, actually raise the dead comes before cleanse the leper. Cast out demons. I love the way he didn't put raise the dead at the end, but somehow the church has got a way out there, off the scale. Even though it's talking about heal, kneel, kneel, very rarely talk about raising the dead, because, as I said, that's the first thing Jesus did when he walked into Bethany, was he refused to come under passive acceptance that said death is the end. He maintained the attitude of active and aggressive expectancy, and he said, show me where he's buried, I'm going down there to sort this mess out. Somebody. And we've got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing against all of the opposition until that becomes a reality, till we no longer see death as the end. When someone dies before their time, it's no longer the end. We refuse to move at that point into passive acceptance. Oh, well, too bad, that's it, over now. Well, we keep pushing and pushing and pushing until active and aggressive expectancy sees every person who dies before their time raised up again to the glory of God. Somebody shout hallelujah, to live out their days in carefree superabundance the way God intended them to live it, the way Jesus came that they might have life in all of its fullness. So the original vision of this church has always been to have a kingdom embassy in every locality across these islands. That's why we say, well, why did you move into Stornoway? Because we saw Stornoway as the hub of the wheel. And from Stornoway, the spokes would go out to the different parts, places around the island. That's always been the vision. A kingdom embassy, a place where people can access all of heaven's resources and be equipped for victory in every battle. A place from which the land can be redeemed for the people who were created to live there. Not in toil and misery and religious striving and oppression, but in carefree superabundance. Right. Might not sound very religious, but it's the now word that Jesus released into the earth. Why are people not living in it then? Because they accepted their circumstances in passivity. I think it's in Ephesians again. It says that there are those who, in the Amplified Bible, it says there are those who in spiritual apathy have abandoned themselves a prey. To who? To the one who goes about like a roaring lion. Looking to swallow people up. Remember, we were born to roar. Remember that, what that guy says in that secular thing? When lions roar loudly and deeply, terrifying every creature within earshot, they are somewhat like human babies crying for attention. A baby cries to have people come to help it. The lion uses similar attention-getting sound, but mainly to say, I love this matter, I'm going to keep saying it. I am here, this is my territory, get out of here. But God says, time to restore the roar. This is our territory. Our spiritual enemies need to hear that roar. This is our territory, you better get out of here. You better get the hell out of here right now. Couldn't resist that, as well. That roar of spirit prayer, of spirit praise, of spirit proclamation. That roar that heals the brokenhearted, that preaches deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, that sets at liberty the oppressed, that announces the year of the Lord's favour, that announces the time when the free favours of God profusely abound. Hallelujah, I'm nearly done. You glad to hear that? Other coincidence, not one. I came across an advertisement just last night for a conference called The Roar. I thought, that's interesting. And there was a very short information video, something Colorado has had this month. There was a short information video, so I thought, I'll watch that. So I watched it this morning. And the guy hosting the conference said it's about equipping people to transform cities, regions and nations by living naturally, supernaturally in their everyday lives. Anything sound familiar? Teaching them how to pray for the sick and to speak prophetic, encouraging words to people. Yeah. That's what a man said. And then he said this. In the Bible, the roar was the sound of God in the darkness of the day. and the world seems dark, when the world seems dark, I believe the voice of God through you can transform your city. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. Come on, somebody. How did I come across that? I don't know how I came across that. But it confirmed everything. Because if God's speaking, he's speaking to the whole air. If the Spirit of God is speaking into the air, he's speaking in thy word. Hallelujah. They ain't saying one thing over here and another thing over there. They might sound a little bit different, but you bring them together and you weigh them up and you'll see they're saying the same thing. Hallelujah. Because God says it's time to restore the yore, the roar, and the days of yore. Hallelujah. With a mighty roar. Let's stand up together. In the Bible, the roar was the sound of God in the darkness of the day. And if the world seems dark, and sometimes it does, the voice of God through you, say through me.
Through me.
Three words, come on folks. It is written.
It is written.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
I am healed.
I am
righteous.
I am
delivered.
I am delivered.
Oh, glory to God. The world seems dark, but the voice of God through you can transform your city. It's time to release that roar. It's time to restore that roar and to release it. Hallelujah. Into this community, into these islands, because it's time to clear the land of all of the opposition so that the people... No. Come on, somebody. So the people that God created to occupy this land can live there in the fullness of everything he provided for them in carefree superabundance. In a place of worship, in a place where he gets all of the glory, because there's an unbroken anthem that goes up from the earth into heaven. Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity to be together as your people. I thank you that you are restoring the roar. Hallelujah. You are calling your people to release your voice, to release the sound of heaven, to release your voice into the earth. Hallelujah. That clears out the opposition, that says, this is our territory. You better get out of here. Oh, harabashakabahasakawos. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorify your name, Father, I pray, in the midst of your people. So as we advance out into this week, Lord, I pray that we would go out there with that and release that roar. Hallelujah. That speaks prophetic words of encouragement into the lives of the people who right now are struggling in the darkness. That it will show them the way out. Hallelujah. Of their situations and their circumstances. It will bring a testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.